All right, everyone. Welcome to Outpost Chicago. We are a full house today.
Down in front.
Wow, we might need more chairs. All right, welcome to...
No, they can stand. Let them suffer.
Welcome to Chicago. How's everyone enjoying Outpost so far? Good? Yeah? Very nice. Well, welcome to the Foundations and Pillars of the Halo Community panel. We've got quite a few people up here. First panel stop of Chicago. So let's go ahead and dive on into it. I am Dustin Pettigrew. I go by Duststorm Online. I am the owner and host of Podtacular, which is a Halo podcast.
You're next. My name is Paul. Oh, come on, guy. My name is Paul Wehrheim. I go by Satirius on the internet. I worked with the community site Ready Up Live for about 8 years and ended my career there as the site manager. Now I'm just a guy on Twitter.
I'm Ian. Online I go by Toa Freak, but you probably know me better as Halo Cannon, YouTube channel, if you know me at all. Thank you for the few people.
Testing.
Oh, yep, there we go.
I'm Laird, and I co-founded Halo Collector, and I'm Laird on the internet and Xbox Live, and we buy stuff, I guess, and we run a large community of Halo collectors.
By all the things.
I know, right?
Hey, oh my god, that sounds weird. I'm Hidden Xperia. I make Halo videos. That's about it, really. That sums me up. I make Halo videos. I talk about iconic lore and other stuff. And the Flood. Yeah,
on occasion. Yeah, and the Flood. Very rarely.
Yeah. Flood would be really nice to have back. Just saying.
Hi, I'm Josh, aka JK Fire. I'm one half of HTS Pro Talk, your weekly Halo esports podcast.
And I'm Will, go by I Am Mr. Mayhem, the other half of HTS Pro Talk.
So we've got some fans in the crowd today for everybody up here.
That's how it is.
All right, so we're going to go through a little bit of the history of the Halo community, and then we'll break down into what everyone's different areas are. Let's take a quick poll. How long has everyone been involved with Halo in some capacity? We'll just go down the row.
9 years.
Okay.
Since 2005, so 14.
Since 2001.
Fogey.
I'm old.
Since like 2002 when Combat Evolved came out in the UK, pretty much since then, so 17 years.
The podcast, about 2 years.
So, sorry? I don't know what the newbies at the end over there. Very nice. All right, so for those initiated, which Laird would probably be the oldest one here, who, as far as Halo community experience, the community as a whole got started with a site called Bungie.org, founded by the illustrious Claude Herrera. He was actually at our Orlando panel, and it was really cool to talk with him and get to learn a lot about how the site Bungie.org really kick-started some of the community support for Halo as a franchise, and just a lot of really cool things that the community had done ever since the beginning of Halo's inception. Halo began in 1999 with the announcement at Macworld. So it's been 20 years that the world has known about Halo, which is July, August, something like that.
There's a period of months during which it was announced.
Yes, yes. And Halo as a whole is just a game that really fosters a multifaceted community. I think the number of panels and the number of people in the audience is kind of a testament to just how much breadth and depth the Halo community has to it. And another thing that really helped Halo grow is just the internet starting to be a household commodity. So everyone was able to kind of play with other people, other friends, and really get the involvement with other people around the world and have such a wonderful community and all the people that you see here today. We've even got someone from overseas. It's truly an international experience. And so the first communities that were founded were mostly focused on three different aspects. The fascination of the lore, which Halo Canon and Hidden Xperia can attest to a lot. The LAN party staple, so being able to go over to your friend's house or in college, go over to the dorm rooms, play Halo on LAN to 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning, and really just dive into endless hours of fun. And then competitive multiplayer, which kind of is covered by the end of the table there. So everything has its place. And all these three main facets of the Halo franchise really has spawned into these other little subgroups and different interests within the Halo community, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. Just, we kind of got a little bit of a feel for what people are interested in, but what got everyone involved or interested in Halo to start with? And we'll start that way and come this way.
All right. So it was actually this guy that got me interested in Halo. He's been a huge fan for a while. I was a PlayStation kid for most of my life and then ended up picking up an Xbox. And it's been a ride since. It's I'm happy to be in this community and keep growing with it.
I've been playing Halo since CE, but like Will was talking about, we did the podcast started about 2 years ago. I've been following the competitive side ever since it basically originated, and Will brought up the idea of doing a competitive, like Halo esports podcast. And the only thing I could think to myself is I get to spend an hour of my week, well, hour to 2 hours of my week every single week with my best friend talking about competitive Halo. I can't say no to that. So that's exactly where that started from.
Mine's quite a funny story, actually. Back in sort of like mid to late Halo 3, there was a community that was really popular called HLG, where you used to basically get the lead and then hide on the other team, but in like super genius spots. So I was super into HLG back then, and I actually started YouTube making HLG videos. And then I figured, like, I did like various things over the years, like dip my toes in like some like zombie stuff, more Halo stuff, even like Minecraft and stuff like that. And then I came out to YouTube a few years ago and I was like, right, I want to get this thing like to a position where it can be like a decent size and where it's going to be like sustainable. What's the one thing that I love more than anything in Halo? And it's the lore. Like, I've been into the lore since, well, 2002 pretty much. So I figured, you know what? I just make Halo lore content and I guess here we are.
Hello? Who here has heard of a book called The Fall of Reach? Raise your hand.
Never heard of it. Never heard of it.
So a couple people.
Right. So that's how I started. And then not on console, but Halo PC. From there, I got involved in, I guess, HBO and a few other communities. It led to some employment opportunities, which some of you may have seen the content provider's content. And I can't say who that is, but if you look, you can find my name in credits. And yeah, we're here. I work part-time in game development, and I'm collecting Halo stuff now to represent. That's me.
So my first Halo experience was with Halo 2 right after it launched, and I got a very early addiction to team killing, as one of my friends can attest. But it wasn't long after a friend of mine introduced me to the Halo books, because at the time I couldn't get into the games. And I got addicted to the lore. And over time, did a little machinima here and there that was very lore heavy, but eventually started doing lore YouTube, which is where I'm at now.
I have to walk back my answer from a minute ago and defend my oldness. I've been herding cats in the community for about 9 years, but I started playing back when it came out on console. Despite turning 29 for the fifth or sixth time this year, I had just gotten my first job. I had a car, I could afford a TV, and I bought an Xbox. And so, yeah, that was my career start, was dragging that thing around to LAN centers with my friends and killing each other. Yeah, oh, 28. Sorry. I'm 28 for the fifth or sixth time.
All right. I got my start in Halo, actually invested in Halo, probably around the launch of Halo 3. Before I came along, There is another person by the name of Fumo Jive, who is the host and founder of Podtacular. And I had been getting involved with the community a little bit, even though I didn't have an Xbox at the time. For Christmas 2007, I bought myself an Xbox 360 and Halo, started getting involved with the Podtacular community, started making some little campaign videos and a bunch of different contributions to Podtacular that way. But I guess my interest initially into Halo was through kind of other friends inviting me over for LAN parties and that kind of stuff. It wasn't really ever fully involved until about the Halo 3 time, but between that, Halo on PC, Red versus Blue, that's kind of what was my first step into Halo as kind of being a Halo fan, and it's grown a lot since then. And now I'm doing 5 panels at every outpost, which is, people were telling me I'm insane, but I mean, I'm having a good time.
Eccentric.
So there's a few different things that has really allowed Halo's communities to foster. Part of that being the people that are involved with the games and then the community that's supporting that as well. Diversity and experience is a big mainstay of Halo. The fact that you have campaign, multiplayer, Forge, external lore, all that stuff that really feeds into the Halo mythos and the Halo universe as a whole, really gives way to having a lot of different avenues for people to really latch on to Halo. Just from an example, so Soterios here was more of a just kind of overall community. So Ready Up Live really fostered communities of a whole slew of different kinds, from artwork to competitive to campaign runs. Like Ready Up Live was one of the larger Halo communities that was really all encompassing of a lot of different things.
It was just memes, all memes.
I thought that was Reddit. Or you started that and Reddit took the idea.
Maybe.
And then you have Hidden Experience Tome Freak, who are really involved and invested in the lore, really diving in and speculating on truly iconic pieces of fiction. Yes, I use the term.
I'm never going to hear the end of that word.
Then you have Laird, who is heavily involved with the collector scenes, all kind of the statues, constructibles, opposable figures, legendary editions, consoles, all that kind of stuff, helps foster that community. And also, like you said before, has gone into game dev a little bit, so has had some experience there. And then at the end with Josh and Will, really focusing on the competitive side, the multiplayer side of things, and really bringing a new, fresh perspective to competitive Halo. So all these different varieties of experiences really is a testament, I think, to how Halo has really fostered that growth. So the evolution of the game. So we have a few people here from Halo CE days, from Halo 3 days, Halo 4 days. There's a lot of different features that are in Halo 5 now that were not in Halo 1. Forge, Theater. Being able to go and do online matchmaking, a whole bunch of different things that have really improved the play space. Some other things that have also kind of helped along with that too is some of the ARG stuff and the novels. So really having that deeper lore piece to really dive into if you care to do that. Oh my gosh. So, yeah, I saw. Huh? No. Another thing that Halo really benefits from is there's a mutual developer and community relationship. You'll see a lot of the developers around here, especially at Outpost, but they're not just here. They're also at other conventions. They're at other events, whether it's Xbox events or game launches. They're very friendly. I know all of us here have had a chance to meet several of the developers, and they're just like you and me. They're down to earth. They really appreciate the fans. They really care about everything that is going on in the community. And Bungie really helped start fostering that with the Hump Day challenges. Laird probably has some stories behind that if you care to share.
Only one. I think I played in a Hump Day challenge in 2009, and we got our butts kicked a lot.
That makes sense.
Sure. Another thing is for a lot of the community creators and content creators out there, they share showcase content. So Bungie did that with their weekly updates. 343 does that with their community updates as well. And those things are very long these days.
Yeah, shout out to Misplaced Yank, Sam.
Yep.
Woo.
There's a lot of content. So if you guys read the community updates and the community spotlights, you'll see a lot of community created content in there. So it just goes to show that there is a lot of passion from the developers on what the community is producing and making and doing with the franchise, really.
Yeah. And if you have content of your own that you want shared, tag it with hashtag Halo Spotlight. Might appear on the 343 website.
Yeah.
At Halo Waypoint.
I mean, the reason that we're here doing this panel is because the studio cares about what we have to say.
Yeah, another thing is, like, never think that you've sort of, like, missed the boat with making content. Like, I remember back in, like, 2012 when YouTubers were starting to, like, fully blow up, people were saying, like, oh, like, if you're not started already, you've missed the boat. Like, you've never missed the boat. There's always going to be, like, an audience there if you make content that's good and that, you know, people are going to enjoy. Like, there's always going to be people there that want to watch it. So never be scared to, like, start making content, whether it's, like, videos or art or, like, writing or whatever. Like, never be scared to just start whenever.
So we have a couple of different higher level categories that I've pulled together of the Halo community. First one being competitive gameplay. So we got some representation at the end of the table. Who here would say their main focus on Halo is competitive Halo? All right, we got a few hands up there. So there's a lot of different communities out there. Team Beyond, Europa Halo, Newcomer.com, HCS Weekly, HCS Pro Talk, Play Griffball, Halo Wheelman, BigTeamBattle.net, HWCL, the list goes on and on. Competitive Halo is definitely one of the bigger aspects of the Halo community. I bet if I asked Josh and Will down there how hard it is to keep up with all the competitive content, it's probably a nightmare.
Well, let's just say that, oh man, we go through every single week trying to figure out what is going on within every single league and every single tournament organizer that's in the scene. So yeah, it takes a while, Dust. That's for sure. And then also, I just want to hit on the fact that if as Hidden was talking about with getting into making content, whatever, in the competitive side and playing competitively and whatnot, if you don't think that there's an avenue for you to do that in the area that you live in, look out there. There's definitely something out there for everybody. We were just at GameWorks in Schaumburg, 5 minutes? Well, not 5 minutes, like 25 minutes away from here. My bad. No, and their GameWorks location is massive. They're just getting bigger and better, and they have competitive Halo tournaments every week on Thursdays. So that's just one facet. That's one area. And I bet if you look around your home area, there probably is going to be something there too.
Yep. Speedrunning is another piece of the competitive community. So we have a few token speedrunners. Pro Ace Joker. Mickey Eli was one of them. Joker is pretty much like the main guy that's left. Mr. Monopoly still does Halo 2 speedrunning. Huh? I said Naked Eli. Those are the big three. There's some stat tracking sites. The latest one being Halo Discord bot. And then we have streamers, so all the HCS grassroots creators and content out there. That's just another avenue that the developers are really trying to help foster its community. Casual gameplay. So who here loves just crazy customs and just having a lot of fun in Halo? About half the people, yeah.
And
we got two hands over here.
Everybody.
So Forge Hub, Halo Customs, the Halo Forge Epidemic, community cartographers, Halo Tracks, all around building these not or atypical competitive multiplayer experiences within Halo. A lot of that was inspired from other video games. A lot of it's kind of stuff that was in previous Halo games that wasn't included in future Halo games, so they've included them in there. So there's a lot of crazy customs out there. I think one of my favorites is probably anything Super Fiesta. So
you gotta get weirder than that. The best custom game type of all time was, I think it was in Halo 4. I think it was called Flapjack, where everyone spawned in a mongoose with like a dish around them, and one person spawned in a banshee with like a spatula somehow bolted in the front of it. Was it Halo 5?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That was Halo 5.
Flipping your idiot friends over. Definitely the best game type.
That's a lot of fun. Absolutely.
I'm gonna go old school. Ivory Tower.
Well, there's Tower of Power,
Tower of Power on Ascension. Yeah, but Tower of Power.
Yeah.
That's what my jam.
I love that one.
Duck Hunt Gang. Halo 3 Duck Hunt will never be beaten.
Yeah.
It will Halo 3 Duck Hunt, Termite, Jenga, Fat Man, Fat Kid, Fat Man, whichever one you played. None of those will ever, ever be beaten.
Fat Kid in Halo 3 was fantastic.
And Halo 3 really And Halo 3 really helped start a lot of that minigame custom development within Halo with the introduction of Forge, and that has just since exploded. I mean, every iteration of Forge, with the exception of Halo 2 Anniversary, because it was kind of a minor update, has made leaps and bounds improvements over the previous Forge, and it's just crazy to see the artwork, the minigames, all the kind of stuff that just comes out of this game. And it's just a game. It's not even a developer tool. It's a game.
And Dust, as we've seen from Forge maps and whatnot, they've made it into both competitive play and just into normal playlists and Halo matchmaking as well. So that's just a testament to what the community is able to do.
Definitely. Creative Arts is another big, probably a little underappreciated side of the community. But it is getting a lot of attention thanks to the community spotlight. So Snickerdoodle has been doing a very good job with that. Bravo did an amazing job as well. But you have cosplay. So we are in the armory section of Outposts. So cosplay is obviously a very significant piece of the Halo community. You've got the 405th, Anvil Station, Impact Props, Donnie Props. So there are lots of different cosplaying communities out there. Screenshots and Forge Arts, another little Forge token in the Halo universe. Renders, animations, drawings, people going out there and making their own Halo-inspired music or writing their own kind of lore around.
Everyone just getting together singing.
No, let's not.
No, let's not. Let's not.
Don't embarrass yourself, please.
Machinima is another thing that was a lot more popular back in the Halo 2 and Halo 3 days. Kind of dwindled off after Halo Reach, but hopefully makes a return in Infinite if elites can make their way back into multiplayer for Machinima, which would be nice. Nudge, nudge, 343. Fan games, mods, and projects. So we have another panel that we do, which is a fan projects panel. And we have one of those, I believe, happening tomorrow or Sunday, can't remember which day, but projects like Installation 01, Project Contingency, Sins of the Prophets, and then we also have content creators. So like Halo Canon and Hidden Xperia. Those are kind of other creative mediums where we kind of explore different facets of the Halo franchise and make our own discussions about it. Universe and lore, so there's a crossover. With, again, Toefreak and Hidden Xperia. But there's a whole lot of resources out there as well. So there are people that know the lore in excruciating detail.
Me and Luke love to reference them whenever we make our videos.
We do indeed.
Yes.
Please keep tweeting us.
Yep. So when you guys, I mean, here's a good toss-up question. When you guys go and research stuff for your videos, I have up here listed Halopedia, Halo Wiki, Podcast Evolved, Archive Installation. Where do you go to fact check or pull info from if you need it?
I mean,
Halopedia.
Yeah. I was going to say, normally, Like, I like to go to the actual source first. So, like, if I'm writing something about the flood, then I'll go and get, like, Primordium out and, like, find the... I'll get the page number. I'll find, like, the actual piece of dialogue. But most of the fact-checking is Halo-media, like I was going to say. Like, it really is the best source for making sure that your lore is, like, bang on.
Or it's good for, like, if you don't remember exactly... Like, many a time I'll know a fact in my head, but I can't remember where it's from. So I'll go to Halo-pedia. I'll find it, source it. Double check it in the original material.
Yeah, that's what I like for this. I like to be doubly sure that it's right. But most of the time, Halo-pedia is just like perfect for that.
Yep.
And I did used to use the Halo Wiki for a while too. It both Halo-pedia and Halo Nation had their ups and downs. Yeah. Though they recently merged, so
now there's one.
Very happy to say. Makes things a lot easier.
There's all-encompassing communities, so halo.bungie.org being the original community site has a lot of different avenues if you can get past the interface. The Halo subreddit, Ultimate Halo, the Halo Hub, all places that are trying to promote and share content of any kind, whether it's official or community made. And then we have collectors. So Laird and I dabbled in collecting a little bit. I wouldn't say I'm a representative of the Halo collector group, but I definitely have my own things I spend my money on.
I enable him.
He does.
You enable a lot of us.
So Halo has a lot of impact on the community. Just the gameplay itself, the 30 seconds of fun, being one of the first games to really revolutionize the first-person experience on a console, allowing for community expression with the tools built into Halo as the game. So Forge, custom games, being able to make videos, all that kind of stuff. And a lot of just other different avenues that both the franchise, whether it's the games or the external fiction or events like Outpost or just whatever the community has sought out to take upon themselves and make. There's just a lot of things that Halo as a franchise really does to bring a lot of life and breath into the Halo community. And it's an ebb and flow back and forth. So the community has also had an impact on Halo. Biggest, most apparent way of that is a lot of the playlist updates and refreshes. So whenever you see a new custom map or game mode within Halo, that's usually done by a community member. With a little refinement from 343. So that's one of the very apparent ways that community content makes its way into the Halo experience. You have fans also developing custom game modes. So Griffball and Infection being custom games that are tweaked off of official game types within Halo, but then go on to become official game types of the game. So taking other different modes or creative modes or even a joke from an internet web series and making it a reality.
Or just hoping that a bunch of people in the group will respect your house rules and switch teams when they die like they're supposed to.
Yes.
Classic Infection, man.
MLG, Major League Gaming, also played a huge part in making Halo competitive a staple and has really helped refine and develop what really constitutes the competitive experience. And then hey, 343 and Bungie are hiring people within the Halo community who have had good feedback and have put time and effort into really investing in the franchise, and they're picking them up left and right. So the pro team at the studio is all comprised of former Halo professionals. You have folks on the lore side. So Grim Brother One, he used to be one of the staff at HBO. Unishek was on staff for the subreddit and stream Infection and other little fun game types. You also have a lot of other lore folks in there as well, like the Ascended Justice guys. So there's a lot of different pull from the community that 343 is seeing that talent, seeing what they're doing, and bringing them in to really help keep Halo focused on what the fans want and enjoy out of the game. So I'm going to also throw another toss-up question, but there's a lot of different things that really helps foster community. One of the things is, or one of the big things is always being open, always having room for bringing new people in who are interested, supporting people who want to get involved in any kind of certain way, and making sure that there's just a lot of freedom for people to try out something, and if it doesn't work for them, try out something else, and kind of have that just overall good experience with the Halo community. So from your experience with your communities, your audiences, and that kind of stuff, what do you guys think is kind of the main draw and appeal for you guys to still bring in new people who are interested in what you're doing? Like what do you think is really that driving force for your content?
I think for mine is, like, I've taken a bit more of a casual approach to the way that I talk about, like, deeper lore. And I've noticed that, like, a lot of people are commenting, like, on my videos saying, like, this is crazy. Like, after playing Halo 3, I had no idea there was stuff this deep. And I feel like by sort of talking about super deep stuff in, like, quite simple terms, it helps people who maybe haven't, like, read the books before or, like, haven't gone too deep into the terminals or anything, like, actually get into it. And it's, like, an easy way to sort of get them into the lore and get them sort of expanding on the lore. So, yeah.
Yep, pretty much the same on my end there. Diving into the deep bits of lore and just trying to get people into the books.
Mm-hmm.
Show them that they're out there, show them it's, there's a lot of ways to get into the lore, even when it can seem overwhelming after, what is it, 18 years now?
I guess for us at Halo Collector, I think I can say for most of us, it's now people are generational, and you get to see someone start in your community and then have a child, raise them, and now they're Halo fans, and you, I guess, they're kind of part of the overall family, not just our community, but you know, you watch them grow into the, you know, the system or the franchise we all love, we all have a love for. So I guess that would be the main reason why we do it.
For us, it's mainly about, we want everybody to have a voice within the community. So with our Discord that we have weekly topics basically every week on the show. We allow everybody that to leave their opinion. We talk about it on the show as well. We want to include as many people as possible. And then with, like, the whole point of our show is it's by the community for the community. We talk about so many different competitive community leagues and tournaments that happen throughout the scene. Like, shout out to the gentleman in the back with the Griffball shirt. Because, yeah, we talk about the AGLA, the American Griffball League of America. There's countless others that appear as well. And we want everybody to have that opportunity to be a part of that show.
Yeah, you foster good content by sharing good content. You can't have an ego about your own newsfeed or the thing that you're producing. Giving somebody else a voice, even if it's just a retweet or a share on your site or a mention on your YouTube channel, really helps bring those people in. Sometimes it's buying them hot wings in Seattle. Maybe a burger over at Dick's.
There you go. So a couple other kind of key points too, if you're looking to, like, get involved with the community or start a community, is it takes a lot of time and effort. It's it comes with some reward, but it's one of those things where if you're doing it for the passion, you're doing it for the right reasons. If you're doing it to get something in return for it, then it might be a little more difficult to get something up and going. But time is a huge part of it. I think everyone up here spends probably hours a week in doing what they do with regards to the Halo community. And also being able to engage your community. You can't just stand something up and just let it run. You got to be actively involved with it. You got to be making sure it's staying healthy, make sure people are getting out of it what they're expecting to get out of it, and making sure everyone's really enjoying either the content or the community that you're trying to provide. And go ahead.
It's really expensive also. Just want to put that out there. Really expensive.
Yep. Time and money. It's all about time and money. And then also being able to partner with other people. You don't see Toa Freak or Hidden Xperia competing with each other. You'll see them try to compete for getting uploads first, but They're feeding off of each other. The ACS Pro Talk guys are working with other competitive leagues to get their content captured and partnering with them on certain things. So even though you're trying to do something specific in the community, if you are having that initiative to reach out and be friendly to other communities and really start to partner up with them, then you'll get a very good boost in helping make sure that you stay afloat. They help keep you in check. And it's also a kind of a positive feedback loop whenever you can get really involved with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Because when I like properly started like focusing on YouTube, I styled my channel quite a lot off Ian's because I watch his a lot of the time. And I was like, I want to make content like this, but in sort of a different way. And the first collab that I ever did was with you, that Armitage video. And like that gave me the biggest spring boost. I mean, we've been great friends ever since. We've worked together.
And I need to return the favor, Mr. 300,000 subscribers.
We still got to do it. We've been planning it for ages. At some point, we've got to do it.
It'll happen. Yeah. Eventually.
Yeah, but don't like, if you are making a type of content that somebody else is already making, don't treat it as like active, aggressive competition. Like work with them in a way. Like, obviously, kind of all competing in a way, but don't treat it like as an actual solid competition. Like just work with them and you'll both get further for sure.
And you can find your niche within something that is very similar to what other folks are doing. So even though both of them do lore videos, they have their different styles. Yeah, we got a grunt walk in the back.
I disagree. I think that they should have to go 1v1 over at the console booth for the one true lore channel, if we could arrange that.
All right.
Let's go.
I've talked enough, even though it is my panel.
No, please keep talking.
But now it's time for everyone else to share a little bit about their communities. So go ahead.
Yeah, there's some people out there from the community. Ready Up Live was just like Dustin had pointed out earlier, kind of a generic community. We did started with, I'm going to say, Dan making weird internet videos, specifically Rube Goldberg machines and Halo 3 Forge. Very cool. It kind of evolved into a general community for shenanigans. Since then, it's been merged into a new company. The last word has been dropped, just Ready Up, which is kind of focusing on enabling gamers at all levels to meet, compete, and get better with each other. The latest focus right now, as the site's still kind of in beta, is a calendar, a total event calendar. So we're trying to kind of community conglomerate all competitive events and things like this that are happening right now. So you should check it out.
Is that all you had? You had a big frick.
Oh, Halo Cannon. obviously, the entire community is based around the lore and trying to show, like I said earlier, avenues for getting into it. There are ways that I recommend getting into it, but there are a lot of different ways that you can't. There's no wrong way to get into Halo lore. And really, I just want to, you know, spread the good word, as it were, and get more Canonites.
All right, we got this little video.
Speaking of claps, watch that.
There is no audio for this. So you're gonna have to talk over a little.
You're gonna have to voice over it, sing the songs.
Okay, so there was supposed to be audio for some reason, but basically that is our head of Halo Collector. He's not here, but it should have audio. But anyways, Halo collecting is you buy your thing, you show up. We don't exclude if you like Mega Bloks or if you are high-end statues. You know, we welcome everybody. We've worked with 343 before, as you can see, as a previous panel. You've got Brian and Sketch and all them there.
Brian and Sketch, yeah, you say?
Quiet, you. And Jeff. Sorry, Jeff.
And James.
Right. Yep. Anyways, we just have fun and we're a community and we give feedback on products that hopefully you guys like, you know, and give it to 343 and other companies. So come check us out, halocollector.com. Thank you.
What's some of the more like rare and just kind of out there things that you guys have input on or deal with?
Hold on a second. Can I say that thing that you have? that thing we looked at last night on your shelf. The piece of paper. Okay, so who here has a copy of the Halo Reach Halsey Journal?
From the Collector's Edition.
From the Legendary Edition. Who remembers that there are pages missing from it? That guy right there has a legitimate one. So that's probably the most rare Halo collectible item on the planet, as far as I know, and he has one. So get it for me.
I make, similar to Ian, I make lore videos as well, about pretty much like anything from like Covenant to Flood to Foreigner to like Chips the Bow, anything and everything. I also like to sort of like expand a little bit and do like, I do quite a lot of new stuff now as well, because I find that content like really, really, really fun to make. And also at some point in the future, I'd like to start making some multiplayer stuff as well. Maybe somewhere like further down the line, but I like to sort of cover a lot of like broad spectrums of Halo content. So at the end of the day, there's a lot of people out there in each community, and I feel like getting together in one place is kind of cool. And sort of exposing one community to another and vice versa is a cool thing. So, yeah.
So between you, Luke, and Ian, how is the lore community from your perspective as far as like really involved with getting other people to contribute, find stuff? Like, we had the latest discovery on the Infinite trailer happened this past Tuesday.
Yeah.
How's it seen, like, so many people really just dive in and contribute to this aspect of Halo?
It's cool, honestly. It's really cool. Yeah. Like, the amount of, like, I always knew that Halo would, like, the one of the biggest communities of Halo would be its lore, because, I mean, the story of Halo is kind of, like, the biggest thing. But the fact that there's so many people that are, like, that into, like, the extreme deep stuff is, like, it's cool. It's, in a way, it's, like, it's heartwarming, because it's the stuff that, like, the super deep stuff that you would expect no one to have really heard of or, like, know about. Like, a lot of people do, and a lot of people want to talk about it, so.
Yeah. So even if they haven't heard of it, the second they do, it's, like, that's their inspiration. That's their jumping on point. And
yeah.
Getting them into it, and then just keep diving deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
We should tell them some stories about when we have Twitter DM conversations about that kind of stuff.
Oh, God.
That's really hardcore.
All the rampant speculation and theory crafting and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. Just hop into DMs. Hey, just tell us the story already.
All right, the HCS Pro Talk, folks.
Go ahead. Thank you. No, so we like we said, we focus a lot on the community aspect. We talk about every competitive Halo game, Halo 4, whatever you want to feel about that. I mean, hey, we include it. We include it. We're all inclusive. But
go say how many tried his best. Competitive.
Right? No, but we have members of the community that just strictly enjoy Halo 1 2v2s, right? And then we have those who strictly enjoy Halo 5's multiplayer because that's what they started with. So it's, yeah, it's just what it is. You want to say anything else, Will?
No, our community is great. So, you know, we have a lot of people who just really care and are passionate about Halo. And that's what it's all about, is just growing that community and having those people around. So,
absolutely.
So as being a fellow podcaster, we got the ends covered with the podcasters. I know for me, one of the really cool things is seeing people react to it and getting involved with conversation, posting polls, getting feedback. We kind of started something at the beginning of this year for us where we're trying to come up with a topic discussion and have people kind of give us feedback on that topic. You guys are doing something similar. So how has the, because you guys are probably one of the more recent podcasts, you guys have exploded very quickly for Halo podcasts.
Well, thank you. It's very kind. Yeah, thank you very much. That's the whole basis, right? Is that we saw what others were doing, right? Like you guys with lore, you guys saw what you guys were doing, wanted to shake things up a little bit, do things your way, right? It's the same thing we wanted to do with not just a competitive podcast, but a podcast in general. There's hundreds of thousands of podcasts out there that people could listen to, right? And the thing that we wanted to do to separate ourselves is that we wanted people to have a voice. We wanted to listen to what others had to say because there are, as Will was saying, a lot of passionate, just competitive Halo people out there. And if we're not giving them an outlet in order to let us know what they're thinking and to share that with other people, then we're not doing our jobs correctly. And that's, yeah, that's exactly what we wanted to do with ours.
It's kind of like we're almost passing on that ability to give the community a voice into kind of like a positive feedback loop for the developers as well. Because you have, I mean, we have this thing where we have the kind of give and take with 343. So 343 comes out with stuff. We're one of the many voices that provides input. But then all of us up here are kind of that consolidation points to really kind of get a good feel on the community and tap into a lot of the noise and help really filter out that noise into something very tangible and usable for the developers to act upon.
Exactly.
And all of us play a role up here, and all of us up here have gotten up here because of the time and effort that we have put into all of our different corners of the community. And hopefully everyone has seen like how diverse the community is, how easy it is to get involved with the community. And really, if you want to put the time and effort into it and you're very passionate about doing something with Halo, that you can get involved and you can have a very positive impact in Halo. There are people out there that don't like the way that Halo is today, which is fine. People prefer the newer stuff over the older stuff. That's totally fine as well. But it's all about being welcoming, constructive, positive, and making sure that whenever you are trying to get involved with something, if you're starting into it, don't try to pull anyone down. Just be there. If it's something you're not interested, don't waste your time. Go find something else that really inspires you or really makes you passionate about something. Yeah, put your energy into something useful or something meaningful to you. So with that, we have some time for Q&A. So if there is anyone with questions, we do not have microphones. So if you could speak your question loudly, that would be appreciated. So how do we deal with content drought?
Well, with Master Chief Collection coming to PC, I have no worries about a content drought because I have about 2 pages of video ideas for Primer series. Yeah. Here's a video for every little aspect, lore tangentially related for each game.
In terms of the actual content drought before sort of like MTC, PC and all that, it was tough. Not going to say it wasn't tough. I really sort of just went back to looking at like older lore.
How many flood videos can I make?
Dude, I've literally hit my limit at this point. I don't think there's any more coming
out. No, I believe in you, man. You never, have you talked about, have you made a dedicated video talking about the dogs that were fed various powers?
I'm about to.
Need to make an updated version then.
Yeah. But no, for real.
It's been what, 2 months?
Yeah, for real though, like it's been hard, but it's been doable. Like, there's a lot of lore that exists before like the current era that I could go back and talk about. Loads of like theories and like back in the day. Still, one video that I want to make is like going through a bunch of really, really old Halo theories from like HBO from like 2001, 2002, and just look at like if any of them came true, if any of them didn't. That's another one. I love Bees video as well. At some point, I'm going to do that, but. Yeah, to survive that, I went back and I just started focusing on like existing lore. Made quite a lot of like longer sort of like biography style videos on some characters. I made quite a long one on Faber, the Master Builder, last year. Also the odd theory video here and then. News videos as well. News videos are things that I've started doing more recently because we are in like the later period of the drought now where I've used a lot of the ideas up and it's like, news is fun to talk about. News is so fun, especially when it's something as hype as like MCC, PC, like getting hyped and then seeing everyone in the comments get hyped because you're hyped is like, it's the best feeling in the world. So the content drought's been tough, but it's been interesting to say the least. It's been a fun time.
I think the big takeaway there is that even in content droughts, there's usually a lot you can still do, a lot of places you can still look for content to make.
Yeah, we're looking.
Ideas to talk about.
Yeah.
It's like,
we're lucky with Halo that Halo has such a huge, already there universe. I have friends in other communities who recently have been through content droughts, and there's nothing there to talk about, and they literally can't make videos. Like, we were lucky with Halo that Halo has like 17 years or 18 years of like hugely vast, expansive lore that's already out there that is just like begging for someone to make a video about it. So we were very, very lucky in that sense.
Well, and there's a lot of content out there with the novels and the comics and all that kind of stuff that really helps keeping the feed from the lore perspective. But for us, our tagline for Podtacular is the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. So we're not just talking about official stuff, but there's so much community. Good. There's so much community content out there from what you guys create that we could have a podcast probably for the next 3 years on something different, whether it's a community project that's being developed or someone new getting into the scene, someone making some artwork in Halo, someone composing some music, like anything that we talked about in the slides. If there's someone out there making stuff, there's a story behind that. There is someone who's put time and effort into making something that is within the Halo universe. And each one of those stories can potentially have a spotlight, and at some point does deserve a spotlight. It's just a matter of finding the time to get it all in there, because there is so much content to work with.
Alternatively, you could just make weird Minecraft videos, but use Halo skins while you're making weird Minecraft videos. You can survive between Reach and 4 for that, I think. I feel like that happened to somebody, I don't know.
On the competitive side, there's tournaments happening all the time, regardless of what game it is. Yes, Halo 5 may have taken a step to the wayside, but there's a resurgence with Halo 3. There's Halo 1 side tournaments happening. There's Halo 5 side tournaments happening. When Reach comes back on PC, and when MCC comes on PC, there's probably going to be tons of community tournaments and leagues happening there. It's just, I don't think there's ever going to be, for our show specifically, I don't think there's ever going to be a drought necessarily, considering how much is still going on. And the leagues and the communities that are just popping up all the time. Because we have Halo Draft League, which sticks with Halo 5 primarily, and they do a draft style system. So players are put into a pool. They each have a price. They have a captain, so on and so forth. You have AGLA, American Griffball League of America. So, and they did Halo 5 Griffball, then are doing Halo 3 now, because Halo 3 has a little bit of a competitive resurgence as well. And then UGC's Atlantic City's coming up, and that's going to have Halo 1 side tournament, Halo 5 side tournament, Europa Halo, European Halo scene. There's an ungodly amount that is still happening. Yeah, the Microsoft Store tournaments as well. That's another great point. Actually, one is happening, tomorrow?
Yeah,
exactly. So all over the country, Microsoft Store tournaments, if you have one around you, go ahead and check it out. You can go ahead and compete, potentially win some prizes, meet some cool people. It's just, there's so, so much. So I'm not worried about having a drought in content for us.
Good question. Next question? No other questions, really.
I got a question. When is my ODST Firefight competitive tournament going to start? Give me that, you competitive community.
I mean, what was one of the... They had the big team battle bonanza at the HCS Invitational. So, I mean, I guess anything could technically become competitive in a sense. Yeah, speedrunning as well.
There is potential there, yes.
Yeah, there absolutely is.
I had a question in the back.
Competitive Spartan Strike.
Louder.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a great question. So the whole thing was about, for anyone who might not have heard, is Lost Lore content, like stuff like the ODST interviews, Sadie's Story to some extent. You had one other example. What was Living Monument for Halo CEA. Yeah. So the Halo wikis are key in a lot, like in trying to either resurrect or preserve a lot of that, like the Halo Wars pre-launch site. Believe.
Are you talking about from the Believe trailer?
Believe, sorry. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
But
I'm pretty sure HBO, Halo.bungie.org, they have some quite old things archived. I'm pretty sure. I know that they have all the Cortana letters archived from like pre-Halo CE. So they might have it, but yeah, wikis and PDAs are like the best thing to keep those things alive.
That's definitely one thing that I know the Halopedia folks want to do. They've been they did their best to try and archive the Halo Wars site. That's probably the best example out there right now. But I don't know if we could ever bring it back the way it was back then, because just a lot of those assets have unfortunately been lost. Like the information's out there, but the experience itself, unless the Wayback Machine has it, which they nine times out of the 10, they have it in a very broken format. So
you can extract it. It'll be in
German. Yeah, it'll be in German.
You could make a suggestion to 343 or Bungie or the companies in charge of that. Whoever has the model pieces, I know it would be really expensive, and I think a lot of us would appreciate it. But if somehow they could get some of those model pieces and do 3D scans of them, and then we could put them online, and that would be kind of like a way for past generations to... That's just my idea. I mean, I'm just... But, yeah. I mean, that would be really cool, you know? You have the Believe model, and it's 3D scanned, and then you go on like a web browser or something, and now you can get in there and look and see all the little cool details of the explosions and, you know, view it from home or on the road or even here if they had it. But that's what I think would be cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for the question. Any other questions? Going once, twice. All right. Well, that puts us to time. Thanks, everyone, for coming out and listening to us banter. Hopefully, you got something out of it and learned a lot about how the community had kind of developed since its inception and where it is now. And we'll be hanging around here for a few minutes if you guys want to chit-chat. We're going to take a quick picture, though, so give us a couple minutes. But thanks for coming out. Enjoy the rest of your outpost.
Wait. You didn't say anything about a picture.